Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch.
Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball.
I want the ball. I want the ball.
I hope he doesn't kill somebody.
You're listening to another exciting edition of 11 Personnel. Nick Roush and Adam Luckett talking Kentucky football and SEC football just everywhere as the Cats are back on the practice field, Luckett. They're back.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's back now.
Yeah.
It's gone quiet by the commissioners here lately. We haven't really heard Sankey say anything about two weeks ago.
Yeah,
he said July, and now we're on the 28th, going on the 29th here shortly. He recorded on Tuesday night.
He did that little media tour afterwards, where he was, you know, going on Feinbaum and Marty McGee. Yeah, he did Clay Trav. He did like a bunch of different interviews. And I think as of the farther, oh, and he did that Real Sports thing too. But as the farther he's gone along, he's still kind of in the like, oh, we're just buying time. And I think a big reason why is they were waiting to see what happened with baseball. And
right.
Well, the Marlins, they're trying to screw it up for everybody else. Freaking Florida at it again. Mm-hmm. But I think look at that was at least another case where like for an hour, everything looks horrible, but then you kind of just like take a deep breath and look around and like, you know what? This is something you can kind of maneuver around. Obviously it's not good. Somebody was being irresponsible, but, that's why commissioners are kind of taking their time because they want to see how baseball handles this operating outside of a bubble.
And then you hear from the Big 12, they're moving to week zero games. Oklahoma moved their game up.
No. Oklahoma didn't move their game up. Bobby Petrino moved his game
up.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah. Is that right?
Which, how excited are you to see Screaming Bobby on the sidelines to open up college football season?
I'll take what I can get at this point. But yeah. It seems like the Big 12 and ACC are kind of waiting to see what the SEC does because I think they're still holding out hope that they can maybe play all 12. And if the SEC, if they're take a step forward and say that's our plan too, then they're going to come out and I think do that.
Yeah, because the most recent thing I heard, I know whenever the SEC was talking about 9 games plus a non-conference, so it would be 10 total. Mm-hmm. Whereas Big 12 today, I saw where it was basically going to be an 11-game schedule. Like they weren't really changing much at all except maybe just dumping – I mean, hell, if they're playing Missouri State, Oklahoma is, then they're not even dumping their FCS team. So,
well, if they're playing, Missouri State, they're planning on playing all 12. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because they get Tennessee in the non-con, and then plus their 9-game schedule. That's 11 of the games right there. And then it's whoever is their other random non-conference team.
They did at least. I'm sure it was more of a formality. You make a good point there. It was more formality. I just want to see Bobby Petrino, like, angry on the sidelines. But, I mean, like, how angry can Bobby Petrino get? Well, okay, don't answer that question. We know it's.
You remember what happened last time we saw Nick Petrino?
Ooh, 2 snaps over the quarterback's head to start the game. Almost had a 4-0 game, which
never in my life.
Yeah, I mean, if we look back on that UT Martin game, that 4-0, that would have been screenshot that, freeze it in time, and put it in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Another
that ain't happen again.
Weather game. Just awful.
Well, I did think it was funny, though, that Mother Nature did the same thing for baseball. Like, baseball finally comes back, and everybody's excited. And then
– Yankees get a rain delay, yeah.
Oh, man. It was a torrential downpour, too. But I know you're a Red Legs fan. I've become –
Bro,
like, Dude, I was told many good things about the Reds this year, and so I was like, you know what? It's only 60. I can keep up, especially if they're going to the playoffs. This will be fun. And Jesus Christ, they have been horrific. And only horrific in some instances, but like, look, I don't know anything about baseball. Like, I know the basics, but like strategy and all that, like the kind of stuff that we talk about football in here, it's over my head. But when David Bell takes out pitchers on back-to-back days that have just struck out three guys in a row, like, what do you – they're good. Keep them in.
Yeah, I mean, in baseball right now, a lot of the analytics push is to, you know, save your guys' arms so you can have them for a long time. Use your bullpen heavily. The problem is the Reds
– their bullpen sucks.
Well, yeah, they spend a lot of money on fixing their lineup, which hasn't paid off yet. They're struggling to score runs here lately. And then they loaded up on starting pitching as well. So they kind of left that bullpen untouched. And that's what's getting rocked here lately. But really the story that they looked great that first day, and then they lost two starters in Moustakas and Senzel, who they don't really – like, they think they might have COVID. They think they might. They're not really saying.
Here's the – thing that I don't understand, because like I have a feeling that they probably have mild symptoms like it, and any other day just you would just like suck it up and go to work. The part that I don't get, so I get, like, I understand that there is a certain quote-unquote like incubation period, so like you could be in contact with somebody with COVID and not get it for, you know, a few days. At a certain time, if you keep testing negative, you keep testing negative. Right. So, I don't know.
I think the problem was that a guy that played first day, he did test positive for it, and then those guys started showing symptoms. So, I think they're just playing it safe, but which is really hurt because since Moustakas went out of the lineup, the second baseman are like 0 for 20.
Not good. He had a dinger in that first game, too.
Yeah.
Pretty a big bomb.
He had a big homer, and I think he had a double, too. So.
Yeah,
rousing start that we haven't seen him since, though, in typical Reds fashion.
It's also just like the thing that I enjoy a lot about this bucket is just the getting. Like, I'm so happy to be mad about sports. It's so refreshing. Like,
oh yeah, I went and bought the MLB package. I have these three TVs in my basement. I'm like, I need, and I'm working from home. So I'm like, I got to have, you know.
Fill up the screens, damn it.
Yeah, I have to have something on here. So I was like, hell with it. I'm just going to buy it. So I've been having baseball running nonstop since last weekend in this basement, which it's nice to have something on there. I will say that, instead of just black screens just sitting in an empty basement.
I actually got to go to a game. Well, I got to watch a sporting event in person. I went to the Louisville City soccer game, and I know most football fans don't care about the other football. But the part that was most intriguing of it all, not just me going ooh and ah because it's a brand new stadium and getting pumped that they actually won a game. It's kind of nice and little. They got all their games on WBKI. I just pop it on and I don't have to pay too much attention. But but from a just purely fan of sports perspective, it was really awesome just to just feel the buzz of like a game day. And it was also really awesome in that they only have 30% capacity right now to be able to abide by social distancing. So, like, I showed up early, earlier than normal, thinking, okay, you know, I want to have time to mill about. There's probably going to be traffic. Well, like, there's not traffic, you know? Like, there's no lines for the bathroom. So, like, there's actually some really nice aspects to this. And the reason why I say this is because this is what you're going to be dealing with if we have fans and at stadiums in the fall. Now, of course, that's a pipe dream for many, but the big takeaway I got looking, I mean, all of the, you know, like I never really felt weirded out except for there was a few times where people got kind of congested when they kind of like how at Kroger Field, when players are coming to and from, they shut off the gates for a little while.
Right.
They do that at their stadium. So it got congested a little bit and I was a little weirded out. But for the most part, everybody's wearing masks and everybody has spots that are far away. They've got like spots on the ground where you line up and everything. So like I felt fine the whole entire time, but there was like, it was fun to watch the Louisville City FC mask police in full force. Because, and that's the only way you can describe them. They're technically, quote-unquote, venue shield. And they've got half their folks walking around wiping stuff down. But the other half, in all of the blue coats, all of the ushers, you know, their version of the blue coats, they're vigilantly watching for people in masks. And not just like, do you have it on? It's, oh, you're drinking your beer? Well, you're not drinking your beer right now. Put your mask back on. So like they would come over to you, Luckett, if you had your beer in your hand, and he would like go to point, and you would either have to take a drink or put a mask on. So it was a fun little cat and mouse game of like, I'm just going to slug this, another one back. You know, why not?
When you were a student at UK, Mr. Rouse, this is what this reminds me of. Do you remember the lady in the library, the security lady that took her job way too seriously?
God, it was awful. Yeah.
That's what that reminded me of. She was just going around yelling at people to be quiet or whatnot. No one's even taught.
No tobacco. No dipping in the library.
Yes.
And everybody's just got big old hogs in, Adderall'd out, like just spitting away. But like it really it had like a time, like there was one time where I was like, I mean, I just went to like finish sending a text message and the guy was already on me. I'm like, dude, you're good. Like I was impressed. And you know what? If that's what it takes, like, dude, sure. Like if that's what it takes for me to be able to watch a football game this fall, it is not too big of an ask.
How was the facility overall?
Oh, it's incredible. And what makes it great, Luckett, is they've got that open end zone and it's one giant bar. And there's also a bunch of bars on the side. So like, it's the idea. I realize it's great for families because you can go and have a few beers, but there's enough stuff. Like your kids can either have fun watching the game, or I'm sure in a normal time they'll have blow ups and all that kind of other stuff. But like,
right.
It was really accommodating for like hanging out and like leaning up against like in that end zone. It's all like kind of bar countertops for you to put your drink on and kind of lean next to a lot of different table areas. And when you're dealing with a team like that, that's not let's cram as many people in here as possible. It's nice to kind of have those open spaces. It kind of reminds me of like the paddock at like a race course, you know, you got some area to kind of mingle and you don't have to be in your seat and paying full attention the whole time. So I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I hope people are prepared that if you are going to be at one of these games, I think your only shot is to be a season ticket holder. I don't think they're going to let single game tickets be sold. Big part of that too, Luckett, is just how they rearrange where they put people. Like it's not like a very like it's. I'm sure there's a method to their madness, but it's not like this perfect puzzle of how to keep people away.
Mm-hmm.
So their idea, okay, if these season tickets, if there's four in a group, we'll just keep that group right here, and they won't have to deal with any other part of the stadium if they don't want to. So I would say, A, make sure you got season tickets. B, be ready to wear a mask, because if they actually – most of the time when the guys would, like, say something to you and you did it, like, nothing happened. But they will give you a formal warning, and after that, you're kicked out. And I think they've kicked people out of every game so far this year.
I would imagine.
So, you know, people get a little too saucy. But all in all, I think that was important to share.
Are you worried about Derby at all?
Yes and no. No, because there hasn't been one big thing with I feel like Louisville City setting a good example. So that's why I'm
right.
Semi-confident. I think it
helps for sure.
Yeah. But I am worried in that, like, that they're really going to tighten those numbers up just because of the recent kind of outbreak stuff and the recent measures they've taken. And what bums me out too, looking about all of the recent closures and kind of taking a step back, is most of it is I even get bars closing, but for the restaurants reducing capacity, it's only because some of those places are bar/restaurants, you know, mm-hmm. Like they can kind of skirt by the rules by saying they're a restaurant. So it's a bummer.
I know from my time going to places that I've never felt like places overcrowded that I've been to, but that's just me going to restaurants. I'm sure there's, you know, a few bad apples breaking the rules, but for the most part,
Yeah, I had one where it was there was like a line out the door, and it just felt like a lot of people were gathering there. And it was also a bunch of like young 20 something girls who were just like chatty Cathys. You know?
We went to Roosters on Friday and had about a 20-minute wait, but we got in there and it was really spaced out. Like I thought, it felt like they were being extra cautious how spaced out they had everybody.
Well, good. And that's how people should act. And hopefully over the next 2 weeks, things will look more optimistic. And then we can have some football. But, you know, we're just kind of speculating here. What we do know, though, is that the KHSAA has approved for high school football to happen this fall. And Luckett, I do need to put an asterisk on this because practices – for all fall sports are set to begin August 24th, which is about a month from today. But they're meeting again on August 20th. The JCPS guy, Jerry Wyman, the athletic director of the entire district, was like, he didn't vote on any matters. He was just like, I'm waiting until we meet again just because, you know, who knows.
Like stand in kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. Just like, we still got to wait and see. And I do think there's a lot of the kind of nuance, you know, a lot of different things to pick and weed through as far as the specific details. But for the most part, they're still planning for high school football to be played. They're only going to take away one game. Instead of 11 weeks to play 10 games, they're getting 9 weeks and they can play a game every single week with a 5-round playoff and state championships at Kroger Field. So,
did they say anything about fans? I didn't see anything about attendance at the game. Did you see anything?
To be quite honest with you, I got about 2 hours in that meeting. I kept it on a little bit longer after they talked football, but my goodness, so many cooks in the kitchen. It was exhausting. Yeah. I was like, who in their right mind would ever want this, like this job? Like this is hell on earth. I cannot imagine this being a regular thing, but apparently it is. Somebody was tweeting like
a town hall type thing.
Well, there's just so many people because you've got to represent from many different aspects.
District or whatever.
Yeah. But I can't even imagine. But I did not get anything definitive on attendance. I saw him, Tackett had a quote saying that basketball is kind of watching volleyball, almost how like SEC football is kind of watching baseball and NFL training camps. And I also saw where they're reducing the players on the field. Or you can't dress more than 60 players.
Yeah. Which for my alma mater is a big deal.
Yeah, and I guess maybe mine would probably be close to it now, but that's if they dress freshmen.
I would say
they dress freshmen, they'd make it. But if not, then they'd probably be under the limit.
But now – St. X's numbers, I know, has taken a little bit of a downturn here recently, but not anything super big. They're still going to have a lot of players, and there's sometimes 40 to 50 players in a class. So if that's still true, you're looking at some seniors that they're probably going to have to tell that they can't dress.
Yeah. Well,
which is not how they typically operate over there.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess if you've got,
I think with Wallace, it may have changed though. I think they've maybe kind of cut down a little bit. Where with Glazer before, it was really big about, you know, all juniors in dress, kind of like you pay your dues type thing.
Right.
More numbers, the better. They want a lot of numbers because that's their biggest strength, kind of thing.
Yeah, strength and numbers. I understand. I think that ultimately will be something they can work around much easier. But for like Trinity, the big rule that's going to kill them is the only out-of-state teams you can play are schools in counties that border Commonwealth. This also applies a lot to schools in Eastern Kentucky who play teams from Tennessee and West Virginia. I know there's
Trinity Western, had it. They were supposed to play a team from Virginia that they can't play. And there's another team on their schedule.
I pulled it up. They've got two teams from Indianapolis. Hell, three. They got Cathedral, Carmel, and Warren Central. So there's three games gone. They'll still be able to play Moeller because Cincinnati, right there. Life Christian Academy was the Virginia school there,
which I've never heard of.
Yeah, you'd think they would have like some studs or something if you're going to do that. But and in general, I think the minutia of the schedule, like, I don't know if so. This delayed start that they've approved for now. It's 3 weeks later. So does that mean they're going to move? Like, are they just going to take out their first three games and schedule them on the back end? I think it's up to individual schools to figure this out, but they're giving them a month to figure it out. I feel like that would at least be the wheels are turning, like, if you will.
And it's a big year just for high school football in the sense of this 2021 class, which will be seniors, but this 2022 class trying to put some junior tape out there, and they've already got a lot of guys that are getting some pretty good offers. And you're looking at potentially 8-9 kids that could end up being 4-star, 5-star prospect type area.
I was going to wait to write it, but I think my hand's kind of being forced into doing it just because, well, A, there's nothing else going on. But also, it's got to be talked about. At 2022 class, there's a dozen Power Five guys now. And you know who's making it happen? Joker Phillips. He's abandoned come play wide receiver for the Joker, unfortunately. We'll never forget that. That was quite a gem. But he is recruiting for Maryland now, and he offered our guy Gavin Wimsett, but he also offered a kid from LCA, Xavier Brown, who he doesn't even have a 24/7 profile. He's in that class of 2022. So that guy is not even a top 10er, and he's getting Power Five offers. So you're kind of seeing where that class is in comparison to other ones. I mean, it's deep. It's real deep.
Mark Story. The only one that really compares, I think, is that, which was Jared Casey, Wandell Robinson, J.J. Weaver. I think it was either 2018 or 2019, I think, where that class was pretty stacked. The kid that went to Notre Dame, Jacob Lacey.
Tanner Bowles,
yeah.
So, but that was only – I mean, I guess it was probably like 11 or so deep of Power Five kids, because I think one or two of them ended up.
They had eight guys that were blue chips, that were 4-star prospects, and then it went down to, like, you know, you had Tay-Tay Crooms, Shaunkel Knightgoff. I believe that Aiden Robbins was in that class, the running back from Manuel that went to Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you probably had 12, 13, 14. I mean, it was a pretty strong crop.
This one, though, you're right, though. It could have more blue chippers, could be a little bit deeper. But hell, now Texas is getting in the state. They offered Dane Key this week, and as Ryan Lemon teased, there'll be more to come. So I'm sure he's just got some virtual Zoom meetings.
For sure.
I would think Notre Dame was probably going to be the next one up, because he had visited there unofficially. I think that one would be.
That would make sense.
It's just me speculating. But Jagger Burton, too, with that news, he had been pretty quiet. And he was like, well, now that I'm playing, I'll start talking again. And, well, again, I keep feeling good vibes from that, in that direction. So
certainly feels like UK has the inside track there.
Yeah, and it feels like something good's getting ready to pop. But speaking of pop, as soon as we quit recording the other night, we talked about Adrian Huey in depth, but he did, in fact, end up popping and committing that night. I haven't gotten Maxwell Harrison yet, but up to 14 commitments now in that 2021 recruiting class. And I guess things are going relatively well. They didn't get Damon Payne, though. I think that was kind of expected, though.
Speaking of recruiting, my guy over here came out with the mega big board at KSR, or KentuckySportsRadio.com. How did it feel to post that bad boy after spending, I would assume, hours on it?
Yeah, that was a work in progress all week.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was such a work in progress that there was one guy who actually cut Kentucky, but I had already written about him. I was like, you know what? I'm just still going to put a
little. Right, Gilliam.
Yeah. And then another kid came on the radar, too. There was some blue chip, Kansas City, another Kansas guy, I want to say, a Missouri guy. I don't know. Roland wrote about some defensive line.
Yes, it was I got his name. I'm pulling his name up right. Texas A&M is a fake. Monkel Goodwin. He's from the DMV, Brad Weiser.
Oh, DMV. Okay.
Yeah, but he released the top six, and it was A&M, Alabama, Clemson, Kentucky, Arizona State, or top five, excuse me.
Yeah. So, add another one, and that's what you have to – That I the last edit I made, look it. And what's funny is now when you see on our website, you can see like how many times you've edited it and who is the last one to come in.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that.
I had like 20 of them and just going in and adding stuff to it, working on it later. But one of the additions that I made sure to have is like, this is in no way complete. Like there's obviously going to be a lot more guys out there. So right. Just keep that in mind as you go through with this. And you mentioned that DMV area. I saw where they offered another DMV kit and another jersey kit. Brad White's really kind of hitting that hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that the one thing about recruiting, I think that we kind of overlook when you get kind of stuck in the here and now is we focus a lot on, well, this area is traditionally good and they're a star ranking, so they're good, right? Well, I think the class kind of looks, or the coaches, I think they, especially when you're this deep into Stoops' tenure, you look at where are your most successful players coming from?
Yeah.
And in the DMV, have they missed on one? Kobe yeah, Walker?
That Will Jackson.
Yeah, he
fell into Josh Allen's class.
He was he the out, I think, before he even got here. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And Kobe Walker and then, had
yeah,
some.
Yeah, you
had
Kobe Walker. Yeah.
But then the rest. Walker,
but
the rest
like of. A pretty good hit right there.
Boogie, Josh Pascal, Nasir Watkins has been in the rotation, I think, almost from mm-hmm. day one.
Right.
So you're seeing them invest a little bit more into that DMV area, and Brad White has a few more connections there, I think. So they're going there, and the reason why I said this is because it kind of plays off the article that you shared tonight where we talked about it at length last week, but kind of how Kentucky's pulling out of South Florida. And somebody's like, well, why are you going away from South Florida? They have all the best players. Well, they worked out earlier when Chad Scott was recruiting him, but Grant and Henshaw's guys – yeah. Marvin
really,
Alexander's transfer.
Scott was more Central Florida. Like they were hammering Tampa,
Orlando,
Derek Beatty, Orlando, Juice Johnson, Blake McLean,
JoJo Kemp. He was DeLand. Yeah.
Whereas Grant had distinct ties to the Fort Lauderdale area.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2018, in his first, I guess, full kind of class. Where he was there from the beginning, where they first got those guys on campus before their junior year. They went down there and they got 9 players from South Florida. Jordan Wright, I think, was probably the highest rated one in that crop. But they just had some guys leave. You had like a Sebastian Dulcine left, Chris Whitaker left, and now you've seen Davion Hawkins just left. So they just, and BJ Alexander. So it was just kind of a lot of. I don't think it was as good as they were hoping for. And so
no, but like right this year,
get out of there.
He's going to be an all SEC candidate.
Right. Absolutely. That's
like there's plenty of guys like Josh Ali, probably gonna be the best receiver. So,
right. Yeah. There's definitely, they hit on, but I don't think the rate at which they were hitting on guys was as good as they wanted it to be.
Right. Which I think was a big part of your post too, that really opened my eyes was because I knew that a lot of those guys transferred from that 2014 class that we got hyped up so much. But to realize just how many of those early guys from Ohio, when Stoops is really just trying to pick up traction, a lot of those guys, they wouldn't recruit now. I think they were just the first kid that committed for Stoops, JaVale Heitche, you know, what was he there, a year or two before he ended up starting his music career or something.
Right.
So like
just did it. A lot of 2014 had some guys that just straight up stopped playing football.
Hell, Mikel Horton was one of them. Like, what are you doing, dude? You were playing in the rotation.
Right.
But I think the point being, though, is production, I think, is tied more to where you're recruiting than we initially think.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it finding kids that fit your locker room kind of culture and your program DNA. For Kentucky, it's a lot of, you know, we're not messing around. It's blue collar. We're going to get to work. And now in the program, it's, you know, it's not like it was when Stoops first got here, when it was playing time was probably what they were selling on the recruiting trail. Now it's more, you know, you got to come in and earn your stripes type thing. And with that comes, I think, a different, you know, a kid that's got to be willing to kind of accept that and be willing to put in the work and maybe even sit behind a guy for a little bit. When you get your chance, then cash in.
That also is.
Yeah, there's going to be some waiting period.
That blue collar mentality, too, doesn't really. The Venn diagram with that and SoFlo, I don't think they touch. Right. They're about like.
Well, and I think that's what you're getting at. I think you get when you get into more South Georgia and kind of Alabama, I think you find kids that fit that mentality more. And in South Florida, the coaching is not as good as it is in Georgia and Alabama, in my opinion, the high school coaching. I think the kids come out with a little more polish.
Oh, wow. You hear that? South Florida coaches, Adam Luckett's putting you on the hot seat.
Well, I mean, they just have – and they have rules where those kids can transfer. Some guys go to 3-4 different high schools.
It's going to be miserable.
Yeah, you got kids bopping around where it's in Georgia and Alabama, they invest, you know, some money there in mm-hmm. their coaching. And you got kids that, you know, go and stay at some of these powerhouses like we saw with the Christian Lewis just committed. Mm-hmm. Really good high school. Alan Daly played for a really good high school.
Pinson Valley, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's also another aspect, too, where it's like in South Florida, it's easier to transfer because it's a much more densely populated area. There's a lot more schools where South Georgia, like that's the county school. You know,
right.
That's where you're going. Like,
you got one place to go pretty much.
Like, I think Travis Tisdale had maybe one other option when he was – in Valdosta, but he went to the big school, Lowndes, which is mm-hmm. enormous. So
right off the interstate, I-75.
Yeah, it was actually kind of – I forgot where I was going. It might have been to the Citrus Bowl, and we stayed the night there. I don't know why. Typically, we drive through, but I guess we were just like, you know what, we're gonna stay a night on the way and not just try to bang out this drive all the way on the way down there.
We've been more on that train, too. I used to be team drive through, but now kind of a fan of driving halfway, getting stopped.
Valdosta's just a great stop point too if you're doing that Orlando trip, because after that it's really tough, and that between Macon and there is just like it's mm-hmm. a slog. So that's a good stopping point for there. Now you drive through on the way home though. That's
right. Yeah, that's what I was saying. You drive back all the way, but going there, just take your time.
Yeah, you take it easy, you know. Maybe you can enjoy some breakfast the next morning, get a good night's sleep, mm-hmm. work wonders. But we actually stayed in a hotel that was I looked out my window, I was like, damn, that's a big ass stadium. And I was like, oh, I know the Lowndes. I've watched football highlights from mm-hmm. here. But I'm gonna hold off directly on that topic, but the next thing I want to get to – actually, no, screw it. I mentioned Tisdale. I want to talk about UK's running backs, Lockett, because you've got five dudes who – I mean, Kentucky has a deep-ass running back room. They got five dudes who can play and can do something for you in some sort of capacity. And I thought this would be a good time to kind of, A, lay out just strengths and weaknesses, and then – I'm going to make you choose who you think is going to be the leading rusher on the team.
Before we get there, I'll give you a true false.
Okay.
For the fifth year in a row, Kentucky will have a 1,000-yard rusher. True or false?
True.
Who are you riding with? I guess that's what you're going
to
ask me.
I'm going to get to the end of it because I think I like this. I have a few good reasons for this candidate, but – That's a good question, because there are so many carries to get passed around, kind of like what happened last year where you had A.J. Rose, Chris Rodriguez, and Kavase Smoke each getting significant shares at different points in the season. That's more or less how they kind of divided up. It was less situational and more of a he believes in feeding the hot hand. So A.J. Yeah, got a lot of
– for sure.
He loves the hot hand. So AJ got the early touches because he was a senior or the redshirt junior. He'd been there the longest, paid his dues. AJ, show us what you got. He starts to struggle, then Smoke blows up.
Yeah, you remember in September, he was like the star of the team.
He was
first 2 weeks. And against Florida, he played really well.
I remember watching I don't know. It might have been like a Thursday night SEC Network game, or who knows what it was. But they were promoting the Kentucky Mississippi State game with Kvassie Smoke.
Right.
It was like
he was a star of the team. First 3 weeks.
Now that took a step back, and then Chris Rodriguez, he had a really big month of November. Really crushed it there for a while. So. And A.J. Rose has a big bowl game. So it kind of went back and forth between the three. And then you add in two newcomers. And look at – I'll let you talk about Jatahn McClain. But on Tisdale, this dude's – he's tinier, he's smaller. But you can't tell me that he wouldn't be an excellent kick returner. And if he could pass
pro – Yeah, I think he'll be their starting kick returner for sure.
And if he can figure out pass pro – that dude can be used in a lot of kind of situational stuff as far as just getting him out in space and watching his speed go.
One big thing I'm excited to see is A.J. Rose in the passing game. I think we saw a little tiny glimpse of it last year. But more this year, I think you're going to see him be a guy that could potentially catch maybe 30, 35 balls in this offense. But I think it's going to be more – go ahead.
Well, there was one game, it was the Georgia game, right? He had a big touchdown catch 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think he had another nice one last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he had one game in the beginning of the season, he had like 5 receptions. I'm not sure which game it was, but you started to see, whoa, they might be throwing the ball a lot to the back. But I'll just look at this crop they've got right now. There's not the bona fide stud war daddy. Put the ball in his belly, let him rumble 25 times on this roster right now. They're just not. The only guy that I think on the team that I could potentially see becoming that is Rodriguez, just because of his frame, his size, his running style, all that. But I think this is a group that's really strength in numbers. Come at you in waves. You've got – you know, the one cut running slasher, A.J. Rose, who can, if he gets a crease, can take it to the crib. You've got Kvassie Smoke, who provides this, you know, this burst ability that can just make a cut and go, and then you're like, whoa, that was a hell of a run. And then you got, you know, the bowling ball just running down your throat, Chris Rodriguez, and then Tisdale and Jatahn McClain, who I think is going to play. I don't think he's going to redshirt. Bring, you know, the mixture of kind of what they have. Tisdale, kind of in the same mold, I think, as A.J. Rose. It's one cut and go, get north and south. He can take it to the house.
Trendon Holiday is the name that I go back to, which, if y'all recall, he played LSU in the mid-2000s. And Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson, they would always bring up that he was an Olympic sprinter, won like an SEC championship. And I think Tisdale – especially because he's a shorter dude. I just go to that. I could see him having a kind of role like that. But I think in the future, maybe McClain could be not a war daddy in a physical sense, but I think he could be a featured back in the future.
Yeah, like McClain's kind of a modern day running back, where he's not this 225 just workhorse, but he's a guy who's a very patient runner. You watch his tape. And that's something Eddie Graham, we've heard him talk about a lot. That's probably one of his favorite attributes to have in the back. He can impact the passing game. He can step out and make receptions, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then he's just kind of – I think he's got the whole package. Like, I think if you're looking at just NFL draft prospect, if you made me pick who's the guy you think has probably got the best chance to make it to the next level – I'm probably going to pick Jatahn McClain just because I think I like his entire package and the way football's kind of going, where the running back has to be used in more ways than just running power.
And so, if Grant
– and Grant's already spoken about how he really came in the spring and really it kind of clicked for him right away. He was good in blitz pickup. And you talk about a true freshman good in blitz pickup. That's a great way to get on the field early, especially for a kid that can – you know, can make receptions. So he can just become a factor in third down offense right away, just like that. And then, you know, he's slowly working in. He makes a couple big plays here and there, and then you're like, whoa, he's part of the package now full time.
Well, and you can also see a scenario where AJ Rose is kind of the model for how you would use Jatai McClain. Mm-hmm. Instead of getting 20 carries a game, you're getting 14 with six receptions.
Or 12 with four receptions, 16 touches a game. That way you're fresh all year. What I think you're just going to see is just they're going to try to keep all these backs fresh all season. And so then in November, that's when that really pays off. When defenses start to get worn out a little bit, a lot of heavy legs, then that's when you see, your third and fourth stringers. That's when you see a Chris Rodriguez come out of nowhere and have a big November running against some tired defenses because you have fresh backs that have been used correctly all season, and you're taking advantage of that depth that you have there.
Chris Rodriguez's month of November is a big reason why I am – a believer that he can be more of a featured back this year, because I think I pray that he will be used more situationally instead of like, let's feed the hot hand and give it to AJ Rose on third and two. No, Chris Rodriguez, get in the damn game, bulldoze your way. And then because really what happened is they had to lean on him, and he turned some of those short yardage runs into 40 yard touchdowns and showed some wheels to him.
And he got in the doghouse early with two fumbles in the Toledo game.
It was fumbles. Okay, I don't remember if it was fumbles or blitz pickup. Rose was blitz pickup a few years back where he got in the doghouse that way. But, I mean, Rodriguez, he averaged 9.1 yards per carry in the month of November. 9.1.
Really good.
And he didn't even have, a great bowl game, but almost all
of his – that's what – he had me kind of drinking the Kool-Aid there a little bit at the end of the season. I was hopeful he would have a big bowl game then. I thought he was going to be a guy we could talk up. And then you kind of say he kind of came back down to earth, and then Rose took off. And that's kind of, I think, was just a balance in the depth. And then you've got two freshmen that you think can play in McClain and Tisdale. And I think it got people really excited.
Well, and we aren't even mentioning Mike Drennan, who might be the most explosive athlete of them all, but he's needed elsewhere. We'll just say that. The more we talk about it, though, the more I want to pump the brakes on Rodriguez or anybody. So, I'm going to spin the question to you. True or false, Kentucky going to have a 1,000-yard rusher?
No, they won't. I think this will be the year. Now, I said this last year. I said they wouldn't last year because it was going to be kind of the same thing.
Well, last year.
But Limbo decided to change. But you just – Terry Wilson's going to get five. If they play a 12-game schedule – that's another caveat in all this.
Oh, yeah, man.
He's going to get 500 or so rushing yards, you would imagine, if they turn him loose. They might be a little more careful with him with that knee. And then you just got three known commodities, and then you've got two guys who you're pretty high on. And then you've got Mike Drennan, who's probably going to vulture touches from some people because they're going to have to find a way to force feed him the ball.
Yeah, yeah. And then you also forget that, hell, on some of those Wildcats, they might end up saying, instead of Rodriguez on third down, Joey Gatewood, go in there and lower your damn shoulder.
That's another one, too, because I think if Gatewood's clear, there's absolutely going to be a red zone and short yardage package with him at quarterback.
Which, by the way, is there any doubt in your – a shred of doubt in your mind that he will not get a waiver?
I don't think – I mean, you would assume so. But
yeah, exactly.
I stopped trying to figure that stuff out a long time ago.
Okay, JT Daniels over here getting a little tricky.
Yeah.
So who's going to be the leading rusher at a market? I think it's Chris Rodriguez because of the momentum he had in the year and because of just durability. That type of physical runner is really flourished. And I think just when you look at Kentucky's offensive line, they got some maulers, and that's going to pay off. There's going to be times where you just kind of got to feed him the rock and let him salt out a few games with that excellent defense, that running game. And they're going to lean on that where, yes, Rose and Smoke, I think, will definitely have their moments. But I think Chris Rodriguez will ultimately be the team's leading rusher.
I'm going to go with Rose just because I think he's going to get the most carries. So I'm just playing the numbers game there. Then they – usually leaned on seniors, especially Rose. You look at – he only needs a few hundred yards to get in the top 10 program history in rushing yards.
Man, that's impressive. Because he's kind of had – I don't – do you have his stats pulled up in front of you?
Yeah, I got him right here.
What was he that sophomore year? So 2 years ago.
71 for 442, 6.2 yards a pop.
And then I guess he would have had like about 600 yards last year.
142 for 826, 5.5 per pop. Yeah, scores.
That is even more impressive than I thought. So
he had seven receptions in the first two games, Nick.
Yeah, so he'll probably get 1,000 yards total, just not all from running the ball.
He's a sneaky kind of draft prospect to watch, because if he becomes a guy that can really catch the ball out of the backfield, do some stuff in the passing game, that's going to catch some people's eyes.
Well, and hopefully so. Tight ends and running backs love offseason storylines if we're going to throw it to him more. We haven't even really messed around with the running back one either.
And you look at the roster this year, they got a lot of tight ends and running backs.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of those guys to throw to. But before we get out of here, Luckett, I did mention Drennan. And right now, the KY Wildcats TV folks, they're kind of introducing the new guys who just showed up to campus. Do you have any immediate takeaways from either of those two minutes? I guess it's about 5 minutes total of video clips from the offense and defense.
My guy Josiah Hayes, man, get on the train.
Dude, that neck, man. I got a little carried away with my tweets the other day, but Jesus Christ, like, his neck's wider than his head, and he's only 17, 18 years old.
Two bodies to watch, Justin Rogers and RJ Adams. They're a bit pudgy, but you get them in the weight room.
Man, Rogers is so explosive, dude. Watching him, like, he's nimble for his size. He's very nimble. So, man, that guy could be a lot of fun. But, man, when you talked about Josiah Hayes being game ready, I just love, like, he is the most Mississippi guy, like, country strong, cock diesel. Like, you try moving that dude off the line of scrimmage, it ain't happening, folks. And so I got excited to see that. Also, some of the – like Carrington Valentine, he looks like a sprinter, like a track guy.
Carrington Valentine is a good kind of example for how they're going to use Adrian Huey too. They're both kind of the same player. I think they're speed demons, but they're not the biggest of guys. I think they're going to be kind of like the field corner. So that's the corner that is to the wider side of the field, and what you get playing that is. The offense usually, that's their speed receiver there outside that they throw deep shots to. So it's a lot of kind of deep coverage. So with those guys, you know, you figured that's, you know, play man on man and just go. So how they use Valentine, I think, will be interesting in how they use Huey. And with speed guys like that, great for punt team. Yeah. Just the gunners on the outside.
Yeah, and those are little things you don't and think about. But
right.
Like that's – Kentucky was first in the nation, I think, in net punt last year. And Max Duffy certainly plays a big role in it, but it's also the other guys, too. You can't forget about them. But the thing about the defense that I guess it shouldn't surprise me, not enough swag. The offensive guys, those dudes just – they don't know how to live without swag. Like, Isaiah Cummings had a chain that was – I mean, it was as thick as a rope. And those are the cool kind of chains, too, the real thick kind. It's got some weight to it. Valentine had one, but he didn't work out with this. He put it on afterwards, and it had a C, and that was just cool. But he was really the only one swagged out. On the offensive side, Jeremy Flaggs is working out with shades on. What a badass. Like, that's kind of cool. Like, we could spend our whole lives trying to do, and they just wake up cooler than us.
Isaiah Cummings. It's a sneaky play and potentially play a lot true freshman, I think.
Just the size.
When you look at the X receiver, which is like the guy, the receiver on the short side of the field that's lined up on the line of scrimmage, that's facing a big physical corner week in and week out. It's Alan Daly there. And then after that, I don't know who's there. I think Cummings just kind of, that's the spot where I think he could come in, and he's proven already. On his tape that he can really, really block.
Yeah.
And I think that's could be a spot for him where he could definitely carve out a role, and especially on special teams. I think he could be a really productive special teams player as a true freshman.
He is a big guy for
and Cummings. He comes from a good program. He's been coached well. by all accounts, he's, you know, team first. He's going to do whatever the coaches ask him. I think he's a guy that could definitely play right away.
Man, I'm actually mad at myself right now because I took a few screenshots of
when do we get a roster from UK? Because they are notoriously slow.
Yeah.
About only releasing numbers or anything.
I mean, Jeremy Flax is even doing his interview in sunglasses. Like, for that guy, that's so awesome. I don't.
Because I saw Louisville today release their numbers for their freshmen.
Well, it's supposed to be media day next Saturday.
Is that what it was?
That's when it was initially supposed to be. That's that first big weekend in August. Now, not August 1st because it's a little bit early, but typically we would have fan day, I believe. Actually, that probably would have been.
Media day was Friday and then fan day Saturday.
Isn't right, that right. Yeah, so 1, 2, 3, and I think they have 4. So actually, I guess it would have been this Friday would have been media day, and Saturday would have been fan day, but, you know, still waiting. Also, Mike Drennan wants to make sure that everybody calls him Donut. Great branding.
Down with it.
Yeah, that is excellent branding. And actually, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I'm trying not to eat like it late at night. And when I go and say things like that, it makes me hungry for no reason. Like, I don't need to eat something sweet right now. It's just going to make me fat.
Yeah, but you want it. You know you want it.
Yeah.
Speaking of all SEC teams, when you're putting your team together, was there anything that surprised you or caught you off guard?
I found it tough to put together because we went more specific by position, and finding defensive tackles is a little bit tough because you have so many different schemes and whatnot. They don't always use defensive tackles. And also at edge is really thin. And that's why like Jordan Wright could creep up on the small SEC.
Jordan
like
Wright can come up with a 9-sack season. He's going to make all SEC.
Yeah. So that was probably my biggest thing, and just that, like, we had three people picking and we had three different quarterbacks.
That's about par for the course for this offseason with people trying to prognosticate. But yeah, I thought for me, like, I had a lot of Alabama guys, and I was like, whoa, they seem like the best team just by looking at these teams. And then LSU on defense, I think, has quietly kind of had some dudes that I don't think people are really talking about. They're just their defense as a whole, because their offense is taking up, you know, all the oxygen with how they replace Joe Burrow. And then two positions, inside linebacker, I think, is stacked. And then corner is stacked, corner and receiver. Those three positions are – I think when we look at the draft, whenever it happens, the SEC will have a bunch of guys there from those spots getting drafted, probably in the top 100 picks.
I'm also willing to admit that I am very anti-Alabama and LSU because they get all of the votes at SEC Media Day. So I'll typically replace them for the kind of lesser-known guys. But I did – like, I like Colin Hill a lot, but I can't make him an all-SEC running back because I don't know what the hell he's going to do. Like, I just can't. I mean, Mississippi State's tweeting out pictures of air raid. They got a 4-star receiver. Where did he flip from LSU, or is he just from Louisiana?
He's just from Louisiana. LSU's recruiting more national right now. So there's a lot of good players in Louisiana that are getting out in the state. They just – a 4-star receiver just committed to Kansas. He's going to try to play both sports, Keon Coleman. And then that kid, I can't remember his name. But if you look at their recruiting, they got a blue-chip quarterback from Texas, and then they've got, like, three top 500 receivers. So
yeah, they're recruiting for the air raid.
He would, but we'll see where he does – what he does with the defense and whatnot.
Well, and at least for in the immediate future for Mike Leach's team, like, he got a grad transfer quarterback that, like, KJ Costello, he can be fine in there. You still can't sell me that Stanford quarterback who's been running pro eye football, handing the ball off, is going to be perfectly suited for that. You just can't, like, you can't convince me otherwise.
Especially with no spring.
Right. But they did return their leading receiver, and they've got Colin Hill to lean on. So there is some there. There's enough to work with this year, and he's recruiting for the future. So this year is going to be just, like, if there's a reason to want football, outside of UK, seeing what the hell Mike Leach is going to do with this team.
Yeah, I think the first couple years could be rough because it's a totally different type of roster construction.
Square peg.
Right.
So weird. Well, Luckett, I think it's time for us to send ourselves off, to go our separate ways. How did you think tonight went? If you were grading the film, what would you give us?
Give us in between a soft 7 and a hard 7.
Well, you know what? I'll take it. I think we really got going towards the end, too.
Yeah.
The problem with these, like, I've been saving that running back topic for a while. We're really, there's only so many of those to go around. Well, that's another
problem with this damn COVID. Like, we haven't been able to get into positions, position breakdowns, match individual matchup on the locker room for playing time.
I mean,
how the schedule breaks down, all that type of stuff. We thought was to fill time in a normal offseason, and now, hell, I miss that stuff now. I would die to talk about offensive line depth chart on here with you, Nick Roush. I would love to go down and start breaking down UK's twos and threes at left tackle. But we have.
I mean, I guess we can start doing it. Maybe we start doing it. I don't know.
We need Greg Sankey to come out and make an announcement about when practice is going to start and what the season is going to look like. And then that's when we can nerd out. If the schedules change, we can go through, break down all these schedules.
Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah.
We can.
I will say under the tentative.
Do a rapid fire position breakdown.
If the schedule remains the same, if nothing changes between now and next Wednesday, they're starting practice Wednesday. Like that's it's either Wednesday or Thursday, the 5th. But yeah, I believe it's the 5th. That's when they can. That was the calendar approved by the NCAA a few months ago. So, ready or not, here it comes. The time's ticking. It's almost time to make a decision. And you know, hopefully, we'll have a little more juice to squeeze out of these melons next time we talk, Adam Luckett.
Fingers crossed, my man.
Fingers crossed. Well, as always, thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate y'all subscribing and just listen to a couple knuckleheads talk football for about an hour or so. And we'll be back next week with more football talk. Until then, go Cats and go Kroger.